Something I see in my own life and other people's lives, even throughout scripture, is the enemy wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. If he can get you to quit at the beginning, mm-hmm. what you're supposed to do, or in the middle, or mm-hmm. towards the end, he wants you to quit.
Fulfillment comes from like knowing him and hearing his voice and getting the honor of being able to do what he's called me to do.
You mentioned some of these ministers that you've looked up to and have now met, you know, people who've been doing things successfully, whether it be ministry or running a business or raising a family, a godly family. They're incredibly consistent.
So many times, like, I've been tempted to be offended about just the dumbest little things.
Well, and even Jesus, you know, when he was ministering in his hometown, is one of the few places where it said he couldn't do many miracles there.
Like, yeah.
And it's because...
Hey, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Purdue Podcast. This is Real Talk and Kingdom Walk, and we are so excited to get to share this time with you. And thanks for being here. What do you think?
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to just start off by introducing ourselves. This is my wife, Heather Purdue. I'm Aaron Purdue. We've been married 6 years now, and Heather kind of got thrown into ministry life, being a pastor's wife right off the bat, and we just thought we'd share our backgrounds. We both have mm-hmm. unique backgrounds, and God brought us together and for a kingdom purpose.
Yep.
You want to start, or should I start?
You start first.
Okay. Well, I grew up, my dad's a pastor. I grew up in Kit Carson, Colorado, a town of 300 people.
That's adults and kids. Total?
Yeah, total 300. And then we moved here to Colorado Springs when I was in ninth grade. And, you know, my high school there, the entire my class was bigger than the entire town. I think the class is around 400. But I graduated in...
Class here in Colorado Springs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I went to college for music. I play classical flute. So I went to school in Pittsburgh for 4 years and then school in Houston. Got my doctorate in music, and so I was away for 11 years for college and then moved back 9.5 years ago to be an associate pastor here.
I've been
in ministry full-time for 9.5 years, and I've done a lot of different aspects of ministry, which is cool. And I think you've also done quite a bit as well.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't start out in ministry, and my mom we didn't even go to church until I was about 12. So I didn't really grow up in church. Like you lived at church.
Mm-hmm. And people always ask here in Colorado, where are you from?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Your accent.
I'm sure they can't tell that I'm not from here. No. So I grew up in Tennessee and I moved here in 2018, was it?
I think so.
Yeah. You need to loosen up, Aaron. Anyway, I moved here in 2018 to go to Caris Bible College, and I was previously married, but my first husband passed away. He had cancer, and so after he passed away, I decided that I was going to take my 4-year-old and start afresh, because at that moment in my life, I had never really surrendered my life to the Lord. I had, you know, accepted him as my savior, because I didn't want to go to hell. Obviously, who wants to go to hell? But I also was trying to live my life my own way. But, you know, when somebody really close to you dies, you realize that life is short. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to wait any longer to not do what God wanted me to do. So me and my 4-year-old, we moved here. We had no family here. And we had no friends here. We didn't know anybody. And I bought a house, and I just decided that when I moved to this new place, I needed to find a church, because I believe that, you know, connections matter, and you need a community. Community matters. And if something happened to me, I needed to be able to call someone to help me with my 4-year-old. And something I always tell moms, especially, is that if you need a little break, if your child needs a little break from you, then come to church, because they can go to kids' church, kids' ministry, and you can go take some time for yourself. So Fisher and I, we sought out Charis Christian Center, and long story short, that's how I met Aaron. But I would come to both services. I would come to first service and help check kids in, and then I would come sit in on second service. And so I basically, you know, was here in all my free time, and I loved it. And I just, anyway, I have a whole lot to say about all that. I feel like I'm already chasing a rabbit.
I think it's neat to share like what you did work-wise too before moving here. You had your own salon.
I did. I had my own hair salon for 13 years. And it was awesome. And I was doing ministry and I didn't even know it. God really helped prepare me, learn how to love people that were hard to love and or seemingly hard to love. I would have clients come in and they'll be like, I'm the most picky person. You're never going to, you know, you're going to hate me. And I would end up loving those people. They were my favorite because they were the straight shooters. I like people that tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I like to, this podcast is actually your idea.
Yeah.
God kind of gave you the idea to do it and to reach more people. I know you have a heart for people.
I do. I like people.
Just care about people. And I think even early on when we got married, you just heard God tell you that you just need to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And also just be genuine, be honest with people, be real with people. And I think that's a huge just blessing to people when you're very genuine and just what they sees what they get.
Well, and, thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, and I can see that God really brought us together to complement each other, but reach people well. For about a year and a half, we've been doing youth ministry together. We just really needed some strong leadership in that department, and we both jumped in to do it. But initially, I start out kind of doing most of the teaching or preaching in there because it's something I really like to do. But we just sat down like this with the youth one time and started teaching together. And I noticed like all the young ladies in the youth room just really lit up. They really connect with you. And sometimes just having a dialogue, you can learn a lot that way.
Yeah.
Just through people's conversation and
their real stories.
Yeah. And, you know, God works through relationships, but I think sometimes he teaches us through relationships too. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think even just our conversation that it's going to connect. We hope it connects with you watching and we just want to help people and just be honest with people. And, you know, you mentioned you really want to instill hope in people. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is kind of a downer.
It's a dumpster fire.
Yeah. people need hope and, you know, people need each other. They need to be a part of the body of Christ.
Yeah. And initially, I wanted to, like, it's kind of like my life goal. I kind of have two goals, but it's to share the love of God by being real with people. And also now, as I'm a pastor, it's to get the body of Christ excited to be the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because like we do ministry, we are so busy here doing ministry and like trying to edify the body and teach the body and equip the body to do the work of the ministry, right? But we need the body to go and be ministers in their circles. Mm-hmm. And I heard somebody say once that like nobody is going to reach the people in your circle but you. Mm-hmm. And that leads back to like we're all built with and designed with a purpose, a God-given purpose. And I've realized that a lot of people are walking around on this planet and they have no idea what their purpose is. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that they're even called or...
You know, I was actually just talking to someone yesterday here at the church, a couple, and they're very... mature believers. They've both been in Bible college. They both serve in big ways here at the church. But she met some neighbors, or maybe is a grandchild of a neighbor who was wearing the rainbow stuff, you know. And she's asked me,
"What do you mean rainbow stuff?"
Like they probably haven't been to church. The LGBTQ,
the pride flag,
flag, and
they were wearing it here.
No, in her neighborhood, but she just asked me like, how do I kind of witness to these, you know,
do you tell her
teenagers
you go get your picket?
So they just ministered like that, you know, they don't need a whole 20 page essay on end time theology. Like I just told her just, you can just share, hey, I'm a Christian and I know that God loves me and he loves you. And I really love to pray for people and help people. Can I just pray for you? And he, you know, and, I've done that before and I've never had anyone turn me down and say, no, you can't pray for me.
Yeah.
And I said, just start there. And I think just sometimes people try to overcomplicate things in their own mind. And, but I said, people are really, their hearts are really open. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just, and sometimes I'm really curious too, like Christianity and the Bible have been so stripped away from our culture that some people don't know basic things about God or Jesus.
No, they don't.
You can't just assume that people know these things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are curious and sometimes just very simply approaching them and then just see where that it goes from there. Mm-hmm. You're a great witness. Just you're always on, just listening to God, always on. And even last week we went in for a chiropractor appointment. We go once a month, but you just started ministering to our chiropractor. We've been seeing him for several years, you know, once a month, and a very nice person. I know we both know he grew up Catholic, but doesn't really go to church now. So I just kind of assumed he was a believer, but you shouldn't just make assumptions that people mm-hmm. know basic things. Or, his name's Tim, mm-hmm. and we're sharing like a scripture with him out of I think 1 Timothy.
Yeah,
but I realized just when we mentioned that he didn't even know that was a book in the Bible. Like, so that kind of surprised me because I thought he, had some biblical knowledge. But you went on a walk that morning. You can kind of share what happened.
Yeah,
but I know you were just walking in the morning praying and God just put something in your heart for him to share him a word of encouragement for mm-hmm. him. And at the end of our chiropractor session, you just say, hey, I have something God told me I want to share with you. And it was pretty bold too. Yeah. And we were there with
the
4-year-old.
Did you think it was bold?
I thought it was pretty bold.
Were you kind of like, oh my gosh, here she goes?
No, I was going to be a spectator. I was like,
Aaron's not a morning person and I am. So I had already been up for like hours and he still looking like he, you know, needs to drink a couple of cups of coffee.
Yeah.
So I'm like ready to minister and he's like,
I'm just going to be, just have my back cracked and our 4-year-old is with us and she's like
climbing on the beds.
Pushing the buttons and they're going up and down. And so I was a little bit distracted by all of that wasn't really dressed up to be a pastor that day. I think I was just wearing gym shorts. And
there's a scripture that says, I'm not going to quote it because I'm going to butcher it, but I'm going to Heather phrase it, is always be ready mm-hmm. to give an answer.
Yeah.
Always be ready.
And well, I know you've done this a few times. Like you mentioned one time you were at a hospital. You were like were you at the ER or something? You were in a hospital.
Oh, I was in the, urgent
people
care.
And you just, God told you, you felt like you're supposed to just stand
well,
up.
Well, let's talk about the chiropractor verse.
So I thought it was going to be something like that. So I was just like,
oh, you thought it was going to be real.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know what.
Okay. Well, we got to tell these people what we're even talking about. Cause they can't read our minds. But so we were at the chiropractor and, earlier that morning I was on a walk and my little notification for the chiropractor appointment came up and I had actually forgotten that we had a chiropractor appointment. But as soon as I saw, that on my phone, it's just this word of hope just dropped into my spirit for this man. And it was just basically, you know, God has more for you, but it's all tied up in like, have you made Jesus your Lord? And I just asked him, like, have you ever made Jesus your Lord? And he said, no. And I said, well, do you want to do that today? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah,
it was amazing how easy it was.
People, even if they do have some background going to church or certain denomination, you can't just assume.
No. You can't assume that Christians have even made Jesus your Lord, their Lord.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So you can't.
Like, I was.
So I kind of realized, like, and I was kind of surprised when he said no.
Were you?
But he wanted to. Yeah, because I.
You've been such a good person your whole life.
But
some of us haven't.
Yeah, he said he wanted to.
Yeah.
And you explained well, too. Like, you had a really powerful word for him.
Yeah.
Kind of a prophetic type word. Mm-hmm. And but you were also direct. You said, you know, it's dependent upon your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, I think I told him... I think I told him that the Lord knows that you're a truth seeker, but there's no truth outside of Jesus Christ, because he says he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just laid it all out.
And yeah, he said it, he wanted to do that.
And I think I was kind of surprised. So that's why you're like, yeah, Heather looked at me and I got to pray with him. But I think I looked at you because I was like, I was surprised that I even was brave enough to take that step. And number two, surprised that it was so easy.
Yeah. And yeah, you just looked at me and he said he was ready. So I just said, just pray with me, repeat after me, and just let him in a prayer of salvation. And yeah, it's very, very special. And he's very professional, you know. But I think you mentioned you could tell he was really, really...
He was moved.
Yeah, really moved in receiving. And it's a beautiful thing.
It is a real thing. So this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the body of Christ excited to be the body of Christ. Because living like this, hearing from the Lord, this is not just something that's for ministers. This is not just something that's for the evangelist, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher. It's for everyone. Yeah. Everyone is made to be able to hear God, to hear their Father. And life with him is so exciting. And I think I just live, you mentioned that, like, Heather, you're always on. And I think the reason why is because I lived so much of my life always off. And once I realized what fulfillment comes from, like, knowing him and hearing his voice and getting the honor of being able to do what he's called me to do, there's so much thrill in that.
Yeah, and I like, it's kind of neat just tag teaming with you in life, but in ministry too. Like, you know, outside the church walls, just when we go about our daily lives, just kind of tag teaming, but also even at a service. You know, I remember a couple months ago, we're having special services in the youth, and it kind of turned into a healing service. And it is really special. So we had three special youth nights in a row, and that last night we had a guest minister, and he just kind of shared he felt like someone had problem with a really bad headache and needed to pray for. And this young woman came for prayer, and she actually had been in a car wreck and been dealing with a severe concussion and like very, very severe for months, and she came up for prayer. And then right after that, some other students came up for prayer, but this one student came up for prayer, and she was a brand new Christian. Like, she'd been coming for several months, but, you know, when we break off into small groups and have discussions, she would be very transparent, just said, I'm not even sure if God's real. And just about a month before those meetings, she decided she wanted to become a believer, you know, make Jesus her Lord, was water baptized. And she came up for prayer. You know, she probably never been in a service like this where people are praying for healing, but she told the minister that she had scoliosis, and he just asked her, well, you know, can you tell right now, like, how do you feel? She said, well, I have constant back pain. Just, I always feel it because it's just constant back pain. And he prayed for her just very simply, and he just asked her, how do you feel? And she said, well, the pain's gone. And he said, well, do something you couldn't do before. And she bent down and touched her toes. And when she came up, she was just crying, just drenched in tears. She said, I've never been able to do that my entire life. And, you know, I actually talked to her just recently. This is like 2 months later, but I just wanted to follow up. Like, how are you doing? Are you still good? And she said, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
And you can tell, too, just her posture before, the top of her back was kind of hunched. And, like, she's perfectly straight. And, but she just said, I know that God's real. Like, ever since that happened, I just know that he's real.
That's awesome.
But that same night, this other young woman came up to me. We didn't even do
an altar call.
An altar call. Really? Ask people if they want Jesus to...
Well, first of all, we give altar calls a ton in youth.
Yeah.
Like, we all the time. But this specific night, it was more of like a healing.
Yeah. I mean, but just God was really showing up in a powerful way. And, this young woman came up and just told me, she said, I need to get saved. I need to live for Jesus. I'm into witchcraft. And Heather was just standing there, and like, Heather,
I need you to talk to her.
Yeah. And Heather, had recently been, kind of studying out,
demonic
manifestations and,
yeah,
and
deliverance
stuff.
I had been actually reading a lot of Lester Sumrall.
Yeah.
His book about demons.
And that's how his whole ministry kind of started.
Yeah, it was from
the Philippines, delivering a young woman who was bitten by devils and was in the Philippines. And she was actually in jail because whoever got around her,
nobody
demons,
could do anything with her. So they locked her up and it was pitiful.
And I think he prayed and asked God to send someone to help her. And God said, I'm sending you.
And he was like, no. But anyway.
But you prayed for her and she.
Yeah. I told her, I was just like, you've got to, if you want Jesus to be your Lord, then you're going to have to forsake all this other stuff. You just got to make a decision. I'm done with that. Mm-hmm. And I think I told her something like, you know, you're interested in all that because you're looking for, like, the spiritual realm is real. Mm-hmm. And people get so, they get messed up because it interests them, right? The spiritual realm, because part of you is a spirit. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to be like kind of connected to that spirit realm. But some people are looking for it and they're finding witchcraft and they're finding all these other things, but when really they should be finding Jesus. So I just told her, you know, all that interests you because you, in your heart, you want to know God, mm-hmm. but you're just going the wrong way. So you just need to forsake that way and follow him.
Yeah, she
and she did. Mm-hmm. And she prayed and anyway, and then her parents talked to us. It was, gave us a letter. It was really amazing.
You see the just transformation in her.
Oh yeah. Even now it's wild. It's awesome. But anyway, these are all things that like you guys can do mm-hmm. and should be doing.
And, I think, you know, we kind of talked about what a big picture subject to share with, you know, this is our first time doing this. But we really want to talk about just not quitting, not giving up. Something I see in my own life and other people's lives, even throughout scripture, is the enemy wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. If he can get you to quit at the beginning, mm-hmm. what you're supposed to do, or in the middle, or mm-hmm. towards the end, he wants you to quit.
Oh, yeah.
And
he wants you to throw away your hope.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to like one of the goals of this podcast is to instill hope. You know?
And what I tell people too, kind of, especially in ministries, they get promoted or a volunteer gets promoted. You know, it's exciting to have more responsibility, have more impact, reach more people.
Yeah.
But with that usually comes more opportunity to be offended.
100%.
Offended from people above you, offended from people, you know, on your level, offended by people that you're ministering to. Like, just there's going to be more opportunities to be offended.
Yeah.
And once you start eating that, mm-hmm. that becomes your new appetite, you know? And I've told you, when someone is offended, they're going to be looking for reasons to be offended. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to pacify.
And the devil will make sure.
Yeah.
Oh, the devil will make sure he finds. You know, I was thinking about this too. I remember when I lived in Tennessee, I would listen to Andrew Womack on TV. Mm-hmm. And then through Andrew, I learned about Pastor Lawson, I learned about Barry Bennett, I learned about Greg Moore, a lot of these, Dwayne Sheriff, like a lot of these other ministers. And I was like daydream, like, how awesome would it be to get to go to Charis Bible College and like be around all these faith-filled, powerful people, which they are, all of them. But it's so funny because the devil will give you opportunity to be offended at literally anybody. And once you get to know people, you realize that God really is the God of the Bible. He really does use people mm-hmm. of all different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And he uses the people, you know, the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And he'll use the people that, you know, none of us have it all together. So many times, like, I've been tempted to be offended about just the dumbest little things.
Well, and even Jesus, you know, when he was ministering his hometown.
Oh, I just took notes about this the other day.
It's one of the few places where it said he couldn't do many miracles there. Like, and it's because they knew him.
Yeah.
He was kind of a common type person. Yeah. You know, this is the carpenter's son.
Yeah.
And they were offended, and that actually stopped the power of God.
Yes, it did.
So offense can stop the power of God. And that's actually how the enemy really baits people, is through offense. And I was thinking about something that Jesus said. I think he wrote the scripture down. It's Matthew 24:10. You put in Matthew 21:10.
Sorry. Matthew I can't 24, do it all, Aaron.
Matthew 24:10. Because it's in that chapter where Jesus talks about what's going to happen at the end of this age. His disciples ask him, you know, what are going to be the signs of the times? And offense is one of the big signs. Mm. And man, offense, people, it is all over the place.
You know why?
All over the world, all over the church, all over everywhere. And yeah. it is really.
You know why? I think that it is so apparent. Mm-hmm. Offense is so, it abounds so much, is because everybody puts every little thing on social media. Mm-hmm. Like your whole life, every little detail. And if it's not about your life, it's your opinion. Mm-hmm. And then people get offended about your opinion or my opinion or whoever. And I just think like as we keep, you know, heading towards the end, it's just going to get more and more and more like that.
Yeah. So in Matthew 24:10, that's one of the big signs of the times, you know, before Jesus comes again. He said there many will be offended.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not, that's all across the
Help
board.
Help us, Jesus.
Many will be offended. And it says they'll betray one another and will hate one another. And that offense, it does lead to betrayal. It does lead to hatred,
mm-hmm.
too. But
Pastor Lawson always says, offense is a one-way ticket straight out of the ministry. And it doesn't have to just be ministry. It can be out of a joy-filled life, mm-hmm. you know, in whatever regard.
It could be with your boss at work,
your husband,
your spouse,
yeah,
and really the more you're walking with God, the enemy's always going to try to present that offense,
yeah,
and you just have to turn it down,
yeah,
and you have the ability to take on that offense, to eat that root. You know, in Hebrews it talks about beware of that root of bitterness by which many have been defiled.
How do you do that, Aaron, personally? How do you decide not? Do you just decide?
Just realize. Just recognize it? Well, the enemy tries to twist things in your own mind. He's deceptive and make it like everyone else is the problem.
Yeah.
And you're the one who's in the right.
Yeah.
And, but just realizing that, you know, like I can be problematic. There's a humility to it, you know. Yeah. Like, hey, maybe I can change how my attitude, how I do, you know.
When I get irritated, I have to just say, like, usually my offense comes in the form of irritation at first, mm-hmm. and I get irritated, and then I think about it for too long, mm-hmm. and then I just get wound up in my mind. So immediately when I recognize it, I have to say out of my mouth, mm-hmm. no. That's my brother. That's my sister in Christ. I'm not that. That's not my thought. I think
recognizing it,
yes,
for what it is.
Yeah.
Because again, those mind games the enemy tries to play. He doesn't want you to recognize that this is offense.
Yeah.
So it might be like a righteousness thing, you know, a judgmental type thing that, you know.
Like
that
what?
He's trying to get you to get really flow in a judgmental flow against someone else.
Oh, like I can't believe they did that. Type
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or like self pity.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or I'm not recognized enough. You know, I work so hard and no one really cares. And
maybe
no
that's
one.
the one that the devil tries to trick you into. Mine is self pity.
Yeah.
The devil loves to try to get me. No one has to do the things that you have to do. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Like you have to do all this work, but you have to drag your two kids around with you.
Yeah. And I know, think for those of you who are parents too, like
yeah.
not letting your kids go down that road.
Like as you're raising them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you're raising them. Like,
no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. I'm a little more.
Old Testament dad.
Slightly. Yeah. I'll even start singing to our son when he starts going into self-pity mode. I'll start singing, nobody knows the troubles. And it really annoys him, but.
It annoys me too.
But self-pity is very annoying and very.
It is annoying. Very, and it's a straight ticket down the gutter.
Very destructive.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not
Joyce Meyer says you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both, mm-hmm. which I like.
So yeah, I think, yeah. The enemy offense. Wants you to quit. He wants you to quit doing what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And offense is a big way that he gets people to quit.
Yeah, just recently, this has happened to me several times. This is not like, mm-hmm. oh, this I had this epiphany just this recently. But no, I've started recognizing a pattern. And the enemy has no new tricks. He's up to the same games that he's been playing since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I started recognizing that when I get offended or when someone hurts me and then I get offended or however the offense comes, I get to a point where I'll think in my mind, like, you know what? I didn't even want to be a pastor anyway. Like I didn't, that was not my goal, was to move here and to be a pastor. And I would love nothing more to just do my own thing, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just going to quit. I didn't even want to do this anyway. So I just quit. And immediately God's like, no, you're not a quitter. And I'm like, no, I'm not a quitter. And if I quit, I'm going to be miserable. And then I'm going to have shame and guilt and, you know, step out of the call of God on my life. And then I started realizing, oh, it's the enemy that's trying to get
and
me
usually,
to quit.
And usually when people quit prematurely, whether it be a job or church
yeah.
or when it's offense, mm-hmm. usually the offense, the root of that offense is very minute.
Yeah.
Most people,
it doesn't feel minute
yeah,
though.
But
it doesn't.
It's usually a pretty small
in the realm of the big picture.
Small
and it's,
thing.
And it's usually minute and it usually will change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a little thing.
But then when people have made that choice
yeah.
to be offended, like I am the hurt. I am the offended. I am the victim. I am like that is now their identity.
Yeah.
They will try to spread that.
Oh yeah.
You know, get people to back that offense.
Yeah.
I just stay out of offense. It's just not a good thing to eat and good. It's not the victorious road.
I started recognizing that if I need validation from other people
mm-hmm.
to affirm me in a certain area, it might not be God.
Mm-hmm.
Because really the only person you need affirmation from mm-hmm. is the Lord,
mm-hmm.
is the Lord Jesus, period. So that's like a good litmus test
yeah.
is that if you're in a situation where you feel like you have to get other people to agree with you, like, what do you think about this? Am I in the right? Or, you know, you really are just wanting them to say you're right.
Because
mm-hmm. if you're really honest, you don't want somebody to tell you you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be
yeah.
a good feeling that you're following.
Yeah.
Might not be a good spirit that you're following.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I haven't quit.
And I've warned people too, especially when they're being promoted and I see a big call in their life. I've told them, you know, that there's going to be more. That I know the enemy's tactics.
Oh my gosh, I try to tell them right out the gate now.
When
people come to work here,
yeah,
I'm like, get ready, because you're.
I daily I have to choose not to be offended by something.
Yeah, daily.
Daily. It's not even like a once a month.
No.
Or like. You know,
multiple times a day,
if you're working
with
a lot of people
uh-huh.
and impacting a lot of people and, you know, work, you know,
mm-hmm.
just not living in a cave somewhere, like you're going to.
It's tempting sometimes.
Yeah, it's going to be a daily thing. But being able to recognize it.
Yeah, number one.
Having that awareness, having that connection with the Holy Spirit where he can speak to you and say, hey, you just need to humble yourself. I call it like a daily repentance. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've spoken to my dad about this, but I think there's like two big types of repentance. There's a repentance unto salvation, like where you have to realize I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to live for myself or any other, whatever idol it might be. But that repentance that, you know, Jesus is right and I'm going to live for him.
Submit to what he wants.
Yeah, there's that. And there's a daily repentance too, mm-hmm. like being able to have some course correction. And it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
In your own emotions and attitudes and thoughts and ambitions. It's an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people they've repented, they're true believers, but they got kind of sucked into pride.
Yeah.
And they don't have that daily humility.
That hurts as a pastor too.
Yeah.
To like see people, like we do this because we love people. And to see people growing and thriving and then doing so good, and then all of a sudden something tiny comes along and they just, you know, and it's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
But they have to see it for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And some do.
Yeah.
Some figure it out.
Yeah.
I'd love to say all of them do.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
So, you know, we mentioned just talking about ways the enemy tries to get you to quit.
Yeah.
Offense is one. Your second one was the one that you came up with, which I thought was really great. It's just fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of life, a lot of ministry, a lot of relationships, a lot of it is a repetition.
Yeah.
You know, raising kids.
It's the same thing.
Thousands of diapers.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of repetition. This is something that I'm not scared of, you know, being a classical musician. I played the same scales for hours.
Used to practice like 3 hours a day.
3 hours a day.
The same stuff.
Yeah. And to me, it's actually comforting having repetition. Like,
yeah.
Like having the same exercises and regimen and, you know, tone development. Like, to me, it was very comforting having that consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the enemy will try to just wear you down, wear you out.
You have a really good, I don't remember if it was a series or like a one-off that talked about you begin.
Yeah, faith to begin.
Faith to begin.
Faith to continue.
Yeah.
Faith to become.
That was so good. That was like one of my favorite.
Because and when I taught that, you kind of realize what you're good at. Some people love beginning things.
That's me.
And some people love completing things. You know,
like completing things.
They're kind of scared to begin things.
But the continue.
The faith to continue is the tough part. And I got that from, in the Bible, Isaac's life. You know, there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Isaac, you know, was living his life, and there's a big famine that happened. Mm-hmm. And something similar happened in his father Abraham's life. There's this huge famine in Canaan, you know, where modern day Israel is, and Abraham actually had to go down to Egypt to survive during this famine. And Isaac, a similar famine happened, and God told Isaac to stay there, to dwell, to continue there. And it says that Isaac,
he became
he actually sowed.
Yes,
during the time of famine. So I was just trying to wrap my brain around that. You know, if there's been no harvest, no rain, no food, and you're going to take the little bit of food you do have and go and plant it in the ground when the past several years, nothing has come out of the ground, that takes a lot of faith. So and when you're sowing, it's because, and God showed me this too, you sow because you're planning on staying. People are planning on leaving, they're going to stop sowing.
Yeah.
They're going to stop investing. You know, if someone is in your life and they stop caring, stop investing, it's because they're not staying.
Yeah.
They don't want to stay. So you want to connect with people who want to continue to sow and invest and grow and
relationally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when people stop selling, it's because they're not staying.
Yeah.
They're planning on going to Egypt or wherever. But he sowed in the time of famine, and it said that he reaped a hundredfold harvest. And that'll lead us to another point here in a little bit, which is actually really cool. So he reaped a hundredfold harvest, and it said that he began to prosper. He continued to prosper until he became very prosperous.
Yes.
So God is showing you have faith to begin, faith to continue, and faith to become. And he could have checked out. He could have, you know, I'm going to go to Egypt. I'm going to check out. I'm going to do what other people have done. So that faith to continue is really, really huge.
Well, because if you don't continue, you're never going to get.
Yeah,
you're
and
never
fatigue,
gonna
fatigue,
get.
Yeah.
Fatigue, well, if the devil can't take you out, he will try to wear you out. That's what I've been thinking about lately.
And the verse that came to my mind about just dealing with fatigue in doing what God's called you to do, whether it be ministry or your job or family.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Galatians 6:9. It says here, let us not grow weary. And you grow weary.
Yeah.
It's not just you're just a sudden weary. Let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season mm-hmm. we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Yeah.
So God wants you to reap that harvest. He wants you to see your purpose fulfilled. And
that's not like the word is giving you an option.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you.
Yeah.
Do not grow weary. So guard yourself.
Yeah.
Against fatigue. And the verse that I really wanted to touch on is Matthew 11:29-30. And it's, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And that's what Jesus says. And when you find yourself starting to grow weary, it's because you have started trying to do things out of your own strength, mm-hmm. and you have put the Lord's strength on the back burner.
Yeah.
And for me, when I'm thinking about fatigue and growing weary, I'm thinking about when we took over the youth ministry here. We have no prior experience of being youth pastors, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. As far as I'm aware, you don't. And all I knew is we need to make it like a party, like a birthday party every Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what we were doing. Like, get some food, play a game, but have really powerful teaching mm-hmm. in that segment that you're going to be teaching them. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when I was like tempted to grow a little weary, because it's the same thing, right? Every week we're doing, I still have to go get snacks. We still have to prepare a message. We still have to do all these things on top of what we're already doing. You know, you're already filming with your dad. We also have two children. You have a side business that you do. Like, we are tempted to grow weary. And then, so I finally was just like, you know, I'm going to have to do more in the department of my relationship with God than I have ever been doing in my life. And I already have a good relationship with God, but I'm going to have to take even more time, pray in tongues even more, read my Bible even more, mm-hmm. shut off social media even more, which I'm not great at all the time, but, you know, mm-hmm. in order to not grow weary.
Yeah, and just consistency, how important that is in life.
Oh, yes.
And too, like, you know, you mentioned some of these ministers that you've looked up to and have now met, you mm-hmm. know, but, you know, people who've been doing things successfully, whether it be ministry or running a business or raising a family, a godly family, I guarantee they're incredibly consistent. Mm-hmm. You know, there are laws of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep consistently sowing, you're going to have a consistent harvest as well. And
don't wait to be motivated.
Yeah. This is kind of interesting too. Our third point on just the ways the enemy tries to get you to quit.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about offense, about yep. fatigue, but persecution.
Yeah.
That's, you know, fun, isn't it? Just facing all out crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of said this. I actually just had a meeting with our children's pastor, and she works with a lot of people. We just had 10 new families here for the first time on a Sunday.
That's amazing.
Yesterday at church, which is really awesome. And she's been a part of our church for over 20 years now. I just told her something I've recognized, and she's recognized it too. Really, the devil doesn't have to fight the church from the outside.
No.
He just lets the Christians do his bidding, do his work in attacking and persecuting. Like, he has a very easy job in trying to attack, you know, believers and local churches. So persecution, can come from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
And even just looking.
But as Americans, where our freedom to worship, is protected. We have a freedom of worship. Like, we don't deal with the same type of persecution, I feel like, that the rest of the world deals with.
Yeah.
But a lot of the persecution, in my experience, has been from fellow believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or other believers kind of outside of your normal sphere to, you know, I'm just thinking about different things that...
Like when you mean outside your sphere, like outside of your like denominational belief, like your theological sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if even he went on YouTube and looked up scandals of a pastor, you wouldn't believe what Joel Osteen said. You wouldn't believe what Benny, like it's from other believers. It's not from.
Yeah.
Probably 99% of that stuff is from other Christians. So these attacks against pastors and churches and, you know, 99% of it is other Christians. And
I used to be like that, actually. I used to be like one of the ones that would point out all the wrong things about other believers.
Yeah.
And my thing was I always wanted to point out like the super religious ones. Uh-huh. Like, oh, they're wrong. They're so religious. Yeah. But then one day God told me, he was like, you are actually religious about religious people.
Yeah, you can be offended.
You are actually offended at these people that are religious. Like, worry about yourself.
I remember, this is a couple of years back, and I have that temptation to be a keyboard warrior and to duke it out with someone online. Oh, yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you've sat next to me in bed when I'm on my computer.
Don't do it.
See some comment someone made, and I just want to go to town on them. I very rarely do that because it's usually just a waste of time and energy and emotional.
That's the thing. It is like,
but this who is wants this to throw God away your piece? Actually gave me some direction in dealing with one of these things that was bothering me. But I remember, it was the Babylon Bee.
Oh, yeah.
They had a post against Joel Osteen, just mocking him. And I went to church there in Houston for like 6 years. And, it's not a perfect place. And Joel's not a perfect person. But like, actually, the very first Sunday I was there, I went up for prayer. And he prayed over me himself. That's the only time in 6 years I had any personal interaction with him. But as he prayed for me, I just really felt strongly in my heart that he's very genuine.
Yeah.
And being there, I just saw like the big picture fruit of that ministry and what he did. And every service he would give an opportunity to people to receive Jesus. And there'd always be people standing up. And I know through television, every time he ministers, people get saved.
Yeah.
And So they just had a very snarky article about him, but like every other month they'd have an article about him. It's like they need to come up with some new,
some material.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like a cheap shot,
like, get a
you
new
know?
Joke.
Yeah. You're kind of losing your artistic integrity here. If you just keep doing that, you know, no one wants to hear me preach the same message every time.
What kind of message did you send
but it kind of bothered me. And then I actually looked at some of the comments. And everyone was jumping in that offense crowd, you know.
Oh, yeah, on that
he's,
bandwagon.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a prosperity gospel.
But one person counteracted it. Had a comment that like said, you know, and it was actually Bill Johnson.
Oh,
the pastor of
the
Bethel.
Other prosperity.
Yeah,
gospel
and it's just this personal page, and so it wasn't like, you know, it was a smaller page, and. So I thought, oh, it's cool that he likes the same kind of humor I like, but it also bothered him that they're just
railing on.
And so he just said something. I think he just said something very simple, like, you know, I think I'm going to stop following your page.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yep.
Just you know, I enjoy humor, and you guys have a great sense of humor, but I think I'm just going to.
This is not kind.
I might just stop following this. And someone started like bashing him, and they didn't know who he was. And you know, just saying how horrible Joel is and this and that. And then I'm like, you know, I'm gonna reply to this person. So I like replied, like they replied to Bill Johnson's reply, and I replied to them. And I just said, you know, I went to church there 6 years. Like, you don't know who he is, but like he actually does a lot of great things for the body of Christ, for Jesus.
Yeah,
every week people get saved.
Yeah.
And like, that's some awesome fruit to have. But they kept...
Guaranteed the Babylon Bee is not getting people born again.
And so this rando person was like arguing with Pastor Aaron and Pastor Bill Johnson, you know, and I just thought this is really funny. But they just wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And Bill Johnson just stopped replying kind of early on. He's smarter than I am, but I was still arguing with this person
better since this
for a day or two. But then I just told him, you know what? And this is kind of what God led me to do. Mm-hmm. I just said, you know, this is the last thing I had to say about this. And I said, if you even reply to me, I'm going to send Bill Johnson $500 and I'm going to send Pastor Joel Osteen $500 if you even reply to me. So if you reply to me, you're going to be sending $1,000 to people, yeah, offering to people that you despise. And they replied. And I did. I sent $500 to Bill Johnson Ministries and $500 to Joel Osteen Ministries. And I think it was, yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. But
persecution.
Yeah, that's how God kind of led me to deal with that very small type of persecution. But persecution is a real thing. And God reminded me of this scripture in Mark 10. I'm going to go there actually. And, this is, someone really important mentioned this scripture to us. It was Andrew Womack. Mm-hmm. About a year ago. Mm-hmm. We had a special service at our church. You know, Andrew Womack was preaching,
Pastor Bobby Crow,
Pastor Bobby, Lynn Crow. We're here from Mexico ministering, and my parents were there, and we actually had them all over to our church for lunch. And you told me, like, the morning of, you just wanted to give all of them $1,000. So give Andrew $1,000 cash, my parents $1,000 cash, Bobby and Lynn Crow $1,000 cash. And I went and got it all, and, you know, we gave each an envelope with cash. And Andrew, you know, just said, you know, thanks, but I pray that you have a hundredfold return with persecution.
Yeah.
And
don't ever let that man pray that over you.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Because what that man prays.
Probably dealt with more persecution.
Oh my gosh.
Past
I know.
Year than
anyway, it's most, fine.
But,
we're in good company.
Yeah, persecution is a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
And
I heard you mention just a minute ago that you said it's just a little thing. You're like, that was just a little form of persecution mm-hmm. when you're talking about them coming against Joel Osteen. But the thing is, it is little in comparison to like losing your life, mm-hmm. but it doesn't feel little mm-hmm. in your soul,
yeah.
in your feelings.
Yeah.
It actually feels absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But thank God that we're in good company.
But one thing, so one thing I've learned from persecution, and even in times past dealing with
crazy.
Yeah.
Just call it crazy.
Just
call it
all out crazy. Yeah. The enemy wants you to shut down and stop.
He wants
doing
you
what
to
you're
shut
doing.
Up and quit.
He wants you to quit. Yeah. He wants you to stop giving.
He wants you to feel not worthy.
Ministering to people, yeah. stop loving people. Like, he wants you to retreat.
Yep. Run away.
When that's the last thing you should do. You should really
just
and that persecution comes because things are really breaking mm-hmm. through. You know, you're gonna help more people, see more lives touched, see more people come to Jesus, see more people get help and healed, and he really wants you to retreat
yep.
into yourself, into your hurt, into your, you know, betrayal. But you know, that scripture about the hundredfold return with persecution, it's from Mark 10. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm gonna have another one.
Mark 10. I'm gonna start in verse 28. It's Peter began to say to him, "See, we've left all and followed you." Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful statement. That's really what Jesus wants. He wants you to leave all and follow him. And Jesus answered and said, "Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time."
In this time.
Yeah.
Not
houses,
just when you get to heaven.
And look what you receive. You also receive houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children.
That means we should get at least a couple of those.
And lands.
Like soon.
With persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. I like this scripture in 1 Corinthians 16:9. It says, For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So that means when you're about to start something or stepping into something that God has called you to do, that there will always be an adversary. And that's kind of like how this podcast came to be. You know, we're just doing ministry, seeking the Lord, doing the things that He's called us to do. And, you know, there's always opposition, but it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so don't let the devil
shut you up.
Yeah. He can shut up.
He can shut up. That's right. I in my little note here, where did I put my? On today's topic on my notes, it says, you don't just stand toe-to-toe with the devil, you take that sucker out. Mm-hmm. Because that's the authority that we have in Christ. We don't need to quit. You know what? It's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies. Mm-hmm. It's not. But, you know, when you deal with persecution, when you deal with situations that rise up, you need to recognize it for what it is. Mm-hmm. It's coming to make you weary. It's come in because of offense, or it's come in because of persecution. Mm-hmm. And you just can't take the bait, mm-hmm. right?
That's true.
So anyway.
Yeah. So keep going on, keep continuing.
Yeah. So you can become.
Yeah. And, you know, God has great plans for you. Something He's shown me too is like He wants to connect you with people that are different than you. Like I was mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, you, Heather, just how different you are from me. You're more spontaneous with giving or ministering to people. And
and you're more methodical.
A little bit more methodical. You know, God wants to connect you with people who are different than you, who have different giftings, who mm-hmm. Can help you. And, you know, I just want to, I'm just very thankful that God brought us together.
I know. It's been a lot of fun being married to you. It's really flown by these few years. It's been actually a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Marriage doesn't have to be hard.
No.
So anyway.
That could be another topic.
Yeah, it should be our next topic. But anyway, we just want to say thank you so much for being with us today. And, you know, this podcast is just to have some real talk mm-hmm. with you to show you that, hey, we're all real people. None of us have it all figured out. But, you know, we've already touched on the fact that connections are important. So if you're in this area, if you're in the Colorado Springs area and you need to be connected to a strong, spirit-filled body of believers. And so we just want to invite you to come to Charis Christian Center. We meet on Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30, right? Wednesday nights. You need to get to a midweek service is all I'm saying. I love church. I'm so filled up when I come to church. And not only that, like when you decide to come here, you need to get involved too. Mm-hmm. Like when I moved here, this is just a little shameless plug about serving. But like when I moved here, the first thing I didn't wait till I was here 6 months before I got plugged into this church. I just said, hey, where do you need help? I will help you. And at that time, it was just checking kids into kids ministry, which was amazing because I met some of the key foundational people of our church.
Before you moved here, you were listening to the services. You know, I think we...
No, I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't really listening. I would listen to your dad a little bit, but I wasn't like live streaming the services.
You'd hear the sermons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you connect online.
But it was so much different than actually being here. Mm-hmm. But yes, you can connect online if you're not here. You can move here.
Yeah. Yeah. But thanks for joining us for our first podcast. We're going to keep coming out with new podcasts, new subjects, new things we'll discuss. So be sure to subscribe to our page.
Turn your notifications on.
And you'll be notified when we have something new coming out. We'll try to do it fairly consistent.
Methodically.
Yeah, consistent.
Not spontaneously.
And we also want to say thank you to people who partner with the ministry.
For sure.
And actually, the ministry is really growing right now. We have mm-hmm. new people coming, but financially, the ministry keeps growing. People are seeing the value in what we're doing mm-hmm. as a ministry and reaching people. So we want to say thank you to people who partner.
Yeah, making this here. Kind of thing possible.
And if you want to become a partner, it's very simple. You can do a one-time gift. Or a monthly gift of any amount, but it really does help reach a lot of people, encourage people, mm-hmm. show people who Jesus really is.
Yeah, we'll try to share more testimonies too of things that happen.
Yeah.
That way,
to become a partner, you can go to our website or give us a call. We also have a great prayer ministry. We have really awesome staff here that just very encouraging. Even you know, one lady who works here, Wilma, she's always taking calls, but just every time I see her, I feel encouraged. But
I know she's great.
I know people call in and get prayer and some support and encouragement. So
yeah,
you're welcome to call in and connect that way as well. But we love you guys.
Yeah.
And we'll see y'all soon.